So that's some possibilities here. And there's even some thought that this awakened Kundalini has contributed in some way to certain charismatic characters in history, not all of them good. Okay. I would make a distinction finally between the awakening of Kundalini, such as I have been speaking of here, and the arousal of Kundalini energies. I think anyone, by doing the right kind of ascetical practices, which are well known in the East, especially practices that would involve yogic asanas and postures and pranayama breathing techniques, could experience for a brief period of time something of this energy, but then the energy would become more inactive after that. And that I would call an arousal of Kundalini. I think a great many charismatics experience arousals of Kundalini. They'll be at a prayer meeting, there'll be a great amount of energy going, they're giving praise to God, which you saw in Edgar Cayce's thing is a sixth and seventh level chakra kind of a thing. It's a real open intentionality, the prayer of praise, and they'll have all kinds of experiences. In the South, we rather irreverently called Pentecostals holy rollers, but their tendency sometimes to go dancing about and rolling on the floor when these energies would hit the brain and activate the sensory motor cortex, or the slayings in the spirit could be related to Kundalini, of being overwhelmed by 350 volts of current coming into the brain for a short period of time. But then you see that energy kind of fades away in a short period of time, and a person is back in their normal state. And say it's a good thing they are. Because if they weren't, and they weren't ready for it, they would certainly have a problem. Now, I've gone over then in this section how the East and how Christianity deals with the problem of the split between the mental ego and the dynamic ground, and this Christian pathway, which involves going through these stages of the spirit-centered ego, the regression of the ego, and finally the realization of the true self. And I've talked a little bit about some of the fruits of the awakening of the Kundalini power in a human being. And so I'd like to stop at this point, and we have just a few minutes left, and see what some of your final questions or comments might be. Yes, Father Bob.
In the tradition, the Catholic Church, there have been periods in time where we've sort of, in religious orders, expressed a kind of asceticism of discipline by mortification, fasting, long periods of self-denial, various ways. Would you say that's a process of waking Kundalini, and as a result of that, we got a lot of people becoming rather neurotic and not know what the heck's going on, like maybe even the trees of Avila, and people who have been deep in these kind of jhana of a cross, people like that, was thrown in a dungeon for long periods of awakening their Kundalini too. And but in this process, they need a lot of spiritual direction, a lot of help to kind of help that develop. But it's not like they went after it, but it was part of the asceticism or mortification that we were sort of told to follow as a discipline to come into relationship with God at ever deeper levels.
Yeah. Now, what's your question?
Well, my question is, have we been unconsciously training people to go into Kundalini too soon by trying to, say, go after a discipline, an ascetical discipline where you mortify yourself, deny yourself, long periods of fasting, long periods of quiet time, centering, or whatever, and then that person awakens this psychic energy, charismatic gifts, or whatever it might be, higher power, and as a result, not know how to deal with that. Community not know how to deal with that in some sense, and have we unconsciously been causing this to happen instead of maybe going through a more gradual process?
Well, I think those examples are there that you pointed out of ascetical practices that may have resulted in awakening this energy process, sometimes prematurely, and sometimes resulting in the rejection of the person going through. I think that's been there. As to what our motive has been, you know, how much asceticism was positively directed toward the realization of the true self, and how much of it was the result of Jansenism, you know. Those are questions that could certainly be investigated. I mean, there's certainly is a role, it's a really important role for asceticism to play. I have to say, in my own experience, I never used any of that. I speak of detachment was always something that God did as a grace within me, not as something I earned through ascetical practice. I've been a total failure when it came to self-directed asceticism. I was never able to achieve anything by doing that. And so I gave up on fasting and putting myself through a rough time a long time ago and focused instead on growing closer to God, and found that I ended up getting the results that I was looking for without even trying that way. So maybe that's what should have been stressed more instead. Okay. I think The Awakening of Kundalini, as the book points out, can be found in our tradition. It's certainly, there's evidence of it, but as you can see from this process up here, transparencies now, it is a consequence of the spiritual journey. It is not for us the goal. Okay. It has marvelous fruit, but that fruit is only tasted as a result of living this Christian life as fully as possible, as fully as possible. And so experiencing our development in the context of the life-giving direction and energy of the Holy Spirit. Other questions or comments, if any, you have any at this late hour? You've been listening to so much today. Yes.
Yeah, I'd like to offer the thought that you were talking about parallels between Christianity and the Eastern traditions as ways of achieving this union. It seems to me that one of the ones that is used a lot in Christianity is the trying to identify person's emotions with the type of emotions that were experienced in either by Jesus or in a religious situation. And I think that's perhaps the reason why you have the five sorrowful mysteries and five glorious mysteries and five joyous mysteries, yeah? And I would suggest that perhaps by identifying at some deep level with those emotions, one is one way of getting closer to Christ. And that in the Catholic Church, there seems to be an awful lot of emphasis, at least from my point of view, on the sorrowful mysteries, whereas some of the Protestant traditions go the other way and they get into the joyous aspects of it. And that seems to be another mechanism by which people become closer to Christ and achieve this kind of identification.
Yeah. Well, okay, that can be, all these things can work for some people toward that end. Devotional practices can take them onto that. I would say, you know, where we are now is the biggest challenge in the church is to get people to that darn spirit-centered ego. I mean, we have so many Catholics who don't know the Lord and who don't have a very strong faith. So evangelization is still the greatest need in the church, to bring people to Christ and to get them to that point in their relationship with Him where they're going to stay and follow Him. And so still too many Christians who are trying to do it with their own will and their own effort, and who haven't gone very far at all into the life of prayer, who are just really beginners in the life of prayer. You know, when I hear a Christian talk about, I pray if I have time, I say, oh, that's a beginner. They don't know anything about it. Good Lord, how can a person talk like that? Can you imagine saying, I eat food when I have time. Would we say that? Of course not. I mean, how absurd to think that we would say, I eat food when I have time, or I breathe air when I remember to. You just can't say that, and neither can you say that about prayer. I mean, if you're going to go on this journey, you've got to grow in your prayer relationship so that we reach a certain point that they called transforming union in the old days. They don't even like to talk about that stuff anymore, but where we're not doing it anymore, the Lord is doing it. Yeah, He's doing it. Our body is in His body. It's responding to His life. And what's happening then is the miracle unfolding before our own eyes. We're just blessed with the opportunity to see what He is doing. Now, that's rich, I would say, is very much what our great challenge is. Yes.
Okay, I'd like to suggest again then that one of the reasons that there's a problem in the church today, it's appropriate to give instruction to children at certain levels and adolescents at other levels and adults at other levels. And when humanity was in the medieval times, it was probably appropriate to give them instruction which was appropriate to the consciousness of children.
Yes.
Because that's kind of where human consciousness was at that time. But, you know, we've progressed a lot since then, and we're still, in my opinion, the church still concentrates on giving instruction to people at the level you would teach a 5 or 6 year old. And there are people out there who are hungry for more adult type of information, more advanced type of information, and that information is in many cases being withheld. And that's why people are trying to go out and do it on their own, is because they're not getting that from the church. And if the church would get out of the Middle Ages and instruct people in more complex and more difficult things, now that we have people who've been through university and we're not all running around with a third grade education, maybe the church would find that people were flocking to church instead of going elsewhere.
No, maybe so. There's probably about 5 DREs in here who are ready to throw tomatoes at you too.
That's just my opinion. Okay.
But to say that they really are struggling with this question of how to communicate the faith to people, and to bring them beyond just what you're talking about, a childlike relationship into a faith relationship. You know, if you have any ideas to bring to a diocesan evangelization committee, feel free to join. I think you'll discover this is not easy. How to bring
easy.
People into faith is not
very easy.
We're dealing with a monster called the false self system in all of this that wants nothing to do with this whole journey. That's really our primary obstacle to all of this. So, yes.
Which of your books would you recommend to get started in this? What are the essential ones?
Well, I'm going to talk tonight about the 12 steps, which I see is the way par excellence in this day and age. We're talking about how to get into at least this picture here, this spirit-centered ego. 12 steps is a conversion process, an ongoing conversion process, where more and more our lives are centered and focused in God. So that little book on the 12 steps is a good one. They're all different. All these books are dealing with different topics. The Kundalini book is dealing with these two parts of the picture here. They're not dealing with how to move one from mental ego, false self attachment, to life centered in God. That's a different journey. And it's not dealing with the metamorphosis that comes long after that. Okay? I suspect at this time that what I've talked about in those last two pictures is still quite rare. It's the fruit of a self that has burned itself out in God. Okay, and without any boasting, that has been very much the story of my life since 1973, is a self that has been getting burned out in God. Not so much from any goals that I set, I can tell you that. That's the only thing that Christ wants, is to give us himself and to transform ourself as he does so. So I think nevertheless it's good to know that, which is why I wrote the book and why I present these workshops, because there may be some of you who are getting ready for this to happen. Maybe some of you who are tasting this. Maybe some of you who are already pretty far into it, who are having these experiences. I think there are going to be more and more people in the future, because I believe that faith in the future will not be able to last until it leads people to this kind of experience. The age of the mental ego is coming to an end, I would say. As you know, the whole culture is in a great transition, and it's very hard to find yourself in the culture to begin with. It was Karl Rahner who said, "The Christian in the 21st century will be a mystic, or he or she will not be a Christian at all." And I think, therefore, we're going to see more and more people we're going to come to these kinds of experiences and activate this Kundalini process. And they're going to need to know that this is normal and this is okay. And we're going to need spiritual directors who can help them through that. And so perhaps some of you will be in a position to either experience that if you haven't already, or to help someone through that if you see them going through that, and the material of today will have proved useful in some manner.
From Liguori Publications, this is a Redemptorist Pastoral Communications audio cassette.